Clark.
Yes.
This is Bill Nowlin again.
Yeah, Bill.
And I figured out what was going wrong, although I had to go to the shop and have them show me what was going wrong.
I see.
But it's working. So just to back up a little bit, I work as a volunteer with the Society for American Baseball Research, and I'd just like to ask you sort of some of your history in baseball, and I'd like to record it so that we can I can leave the tape for other researchers that might be interested.
Very good.
Whatever.
I'll answer them the best I can.
Okay, great. What I would like to do is just sort of start. You came from Boscobel, Wisconsin?
Yes.
And I just I ran across a reference to that as a Bible printing community.
Well, this is where the Gideon Bible was formed.
Ah, I see. Okay.
In a hotel here.
Right. Okay. And that's then it spread from there.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'd read something that over a million Bibles came from that community.
Yeah. Every place, whenever I went in a hotel, I would look, and there was always a Gideon Bible there.
Right, yes, there used to be. Not as much anymore.
As much anymore.
How did you first get interested in baseball? When do you remember, Ben?
Well, I was a fan of the Cubs. We were the fan of the Cubs from here.
Sure.
And then when I got in high school, I got more into it. And I never got beat a baseball game in high school, pitching for high school here.
You never lost a game?
Never lost a game.
Yeah. Did you play in junior high or just in the neighborhood?
I played freshman 4 years.
Yeah.
Straight
yeah.
through. And then I started pitching for a semi-pro club, I guess it was more or less, about 22 miles from here.
Mm.
And I pitched there during the summer while I was still in high school.
Yeah.
And I won 43 and lost 3 over 3 years.
Wow.
And then... we were in La Crosse playing the Heilemann Brewing Company with this team, and Minneapolis Miller scout asked me if he could talk to me that fall when the ball season was over, and he did, and I signed a contract.
What was his name?
His name was Kanechi.
Do you know how to spell that?
Kanechi.
Okay, and he was not a Red Sox scout, he was a scout for the Millers.
He
himself.
Was a scout for the Minneapolis Millers.
Yeah.
And then, that fall, the reason I talked to him is because he was going to manage the lacrosse team in Class Wisconsin Class D that fall.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went there with him and pitched the my first year for the lacrosse in the Wisconsin State League. And then the Millers sent me to... Eau Claire in the Northern League the next year.
Uh-huh. What was Mr. Kanechi's first name? Do you recall?
Jim, I think.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think it was Jim Kanechi.
Right.
Yeah. And then my second year I was with
Eau Claire
in the Northern League. Rosie Ryan was my manager.
Mm-hmm.
And the third year, I trained with the Millers. They took me to spring training in Brownfels, Texas.
Oh, yeah.
We come back through Dallas Fort Worth, and we played Fort Worth there coming north, and they left three of us there with the Fort Worth club. So I spent the 42 season with the Fort Worth club, and Roger Hornsby was my manager.
Oh, well, that's a good manager.
Yeah, well,
I don't know if he was a good manager.
He was a terrific ball player.
Yes, yeah.
And he hated pitchers.
Yeah.
And maybe even his own pitchers, I don't know, but he didn't like pitchers.
Well,
he was a great man for hitters and so forth. But anyway, that was 42. Then 43, I made the big club, which was the Minneapolis Millers.
Mm-hmm.
And I pitched there in 43. And half of 44, and they sold me to the Boston Red Sox, and I ended up with Louisville the rest of that season.
Okay.
That was the Boston Red Sox Farm Club.
Right, the AAA club.
AAA club,
yeah.
And I pitched for them in the rest of 1944, part of 45, and then they called me to the big leagues.
Well, in 45, though, looking at your record, you actually started in Boston and then went back to Louisville for most of the year, as far as I know.
Well, we came from spring training and stayed there a little while, three or four of us, and then they sent us to Louisville.
Right.
Yeah.
But you actually appeared in the very first game of the season.
Yeah.
Opening day, April 17th, 1945.
Yeah.
But you were never intended to stay there? It was just...
There was... I don't know. There were some guys coming back from service and so forth, you know, in those days, and I guess I wasn't quite ready for it or whatever, so they sent me back to Louisville.
And how were you up for about a week or something like that?
I assume that was it. Yes, we were in Boston for, well, we got there earlier, and we were there, played the Braves and so forth back and forth
for the city series.
For a few days. And then we had a guy come in to, when we got back to Boston, there was a news in the paper, like the Christian Science Monitor and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There was a university student in town, college student in town, very good baseball player, and the Boston Red Sox should give him a look-see, see if he was a good enough ball player to play pro. His name was Jackie Robinson.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So we did it. I happened to be the, I had good control, so Joe Cronin asked me to pitch batting practice to this kid, and I did, and he hit the ball all over Fenway Park.
It was just the famous tryout with him and Sam Jethro?
Yes.
And Marvin Williams, I guess.
Anyway, he hit the ball all over the ballpark, but then they worked him out at shortstop, of course. That's where he played in college. And I felt that he couldn't throw from over in the hole by third base.
Yeah.
He didn't have quite that arm. And I said so the next morning to the press, and Joe Cronin said he'd never make it.
Mm.
Anyway, I went to Louisville then.
Well, second base would have been a good spot for him then, right?
Louisville won the American Association. We did at Louisville. And Montreal won the pennant at the International League. We played in the Little World Series that fall. And when we faced Montreal, Jackie Robinson was playing second base.
Did he remember you from...
Yes, we just said hello,
There's a famous incident that you probably heard about that supposedly occurred during that tryout, where someone yelled some racist comment onto the field, you know, to get him off the field.
Yeah.
Did you hear that or hear about it?
I heard about it, yeah. I didn't pay any attention to it them days.
Well, I just wondered if you have any idea who might have been yelled at.
No, I don't.
Because that some people think it was Cronin, some people think it was Tom Yawkey, and some people think it might have been somebody like Mike Higgins or Eddie Collins.
It could have been any of them, I guess.
Yeah. But it wasn't...
It wasn't Cronin, I'm sure, because he was back at me, giving me the balls to throw to...
Oh, well, that's interesting, because I never knew that before.
Yeah, he took the sack of batting practice balls out behind the... And he would tell me, you know, lower, higher, in here, or there.
And it didn't make any difference. Did you have were you pitching from behind the screen, or were you just pitching from the mound?
No, I just pitching from the mound.
Yeah.
We did in those days.
Right.
We had no screen.
So he was telling you where to throw the pitches. Give him a real...
And I had good control. You know, just batting practice speed, not trying to strike anybody out or anything.
As far as you could tell, was he giving it a sincere effort, Joe Cronin?
Yes, I think so. If he would have wanted him to be better, he would have just let me throw it down the center, or if he would have wanted to be worse, put a little more on it, or take a little off, or something like that. But
there's a lot of questions.
It was just a batting practice thing.
Right, but in Boston baseball, they were the last team to have a black player.
Yes.
And I'm from Boston, and there's always been controversy. I'm in Boston now. There's always been controversy about that tryout as to whether it was kind of a sham that they just did for political reasons.
I have no idea.
But as far as you could tell, Cronin wasn't doing this half-heartedly. He was giving a sincere...
I think he did. He really appeared that way to me.
Yeah, well, it might have been somebody else.
It was somebody maybe even higher.
Right, I think it might have been. Who knows?
Yeah.
But that's very interesting that you had that experience. I know Ted Williams, you mentioned Hornsby, he used to hate pitchers too. And yet he also played against Jackie Robinson way back in the 30s in Southern California.
Southern California.
Both grew up, yeah.
Yep.
Now you were up for a few days because you'd had that brief appearance on opening day.
Yes.
Where you pitched, an inning and two-thirds?
I think so, yeah.
You came in to a game that Rex Cecil was pitching?
Yes.
And
he was our starter.
He was cruising nicely in the game. He hadn't given up, he'd given up one run for six innings, but all of a sudden seven runs in the seventh inning.
And yeah.
So I guess they brought you in and you shut him down. You didn't give up any hits. You got the end of the game.
I think so, yeah.
They lost the game. But, yeah, you did finish up the game but
yeah.
without giving up a hit. But then they didn't try you again for a while, as far as I can tell.
No. I think shortly after that, Jim Wilson and myself and a couple other guys were sent to Louisville.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They probably intended that all along.
Probably.
Mapped
out.
Did the season start later in Louisville?
Yes, just a few days.
So that might have been what happened, is they came up, gave you a look, and gave a look at you, but then gave you the full season.
Yeah.
But you were, by beginning of August, you were back sometime August 12th or so, you came back up to Boston,
right.
How had you done in Louisville?
I forget the record, but we done real well.
Must have done well, of course.
I think I was 14-7 or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I forgot.
They had Dave Ferris, who was having a tremendous year.
Oh, he was a good pitcher, yeah.
Up in Boston.
Yeah.
Ooh. But they could always use more help.
They
could probably use your help today sometimes. But,
They won last night, though.
Oh, I was there. It was a tremendous game.
It was a nail-biter, wasn't it?
Well,
they were behind, and then they tied it.
Yeah, was it tight? They were behind. Well, they took a 1-0 lead, then it was 3-1, and they just kind of picked up a run, and it was going into the ninth inning. It was 3-2, but then Orioles got two more runs, and it kind of deflated everybody. But then they got the 3-run homer.
Yeah.
So now I had a question about your nickname, because I was told that it's always been misspelled in the books.
It was misspelled O-T-I-E. They did when they printed books.
Right.
My nickname is O-T-E-Y, which is Otie. My middle name is Otis.
Yes, William Otis.
And they would never call you Otis, I guess. It was Otie.
But how did you always spell it O-T-E-Y?
Yes.
Was it the name that was used in the family? Did your parents call you Otie?
Yes.
And if your mom or dad were, I don't know how long they lived, but if they were to write you a note or something, that's the way they'd spell it.
That's the way they'd spell it.
Yeah, so someone just made the assumption.
Yes, well, when you hear the name, then you spell it. I've even seen it spelled O-D-I-E.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, we'll try to see if we can get that corrected.
Yeah.
In time, because I would have normally spelled it O-T-I-E myself if I just heard
sure.
it. So it's good to know what the real thing was. Now, when you joined the team then in Boston, the season, it wasn't that great a season, but it was well underway by the time you came
yes.
along.
Yes.
And your first start was the 12th of August, I guess.
Yeah, in Chicago, I think.
In Cleveland.
Cleveland, right.
Because I printed out the schedule here. Yeah, Pete Senter was pitching for the other team.
Yeah.
And he had a better day than you did that
right.
day.
Yeah. And the next one was Chicago, I think.
Tell me what you remember just about the joining that group of guys. You had done spring training with the Red Sox that year?
Yes.
Which was in Pleasantville, New Jersey?
Yes.
In 45, I guess. Had you trained with the Red Sox also in Baltimore the year before? Or
no.
Were you with Louisville at wherever they trained in?
Well, I joined in 44. I was with Minneapolis for spring training.
Oh, that's right. Well, you said for 43 and half of 44 you were with Minneapolis.
Yes.
So, and then, but by the end of 44 you were with Louisville.
Yes.
So I was wondering where you took spring training in 44.
44, we took spring training in Terre Haute, Indiana.
Okay, so that was with the Louisville Colonels then.
No, that was in 44. I was to start the season. I was with Minneapolis.
Oh, you went back essentially.
No. In 1943, I joined the Minneapolis club, pitched for them in 43 and half of 44, was sold to the Red Sox.
That makes sense. I wasn't thinking carefully enough.
Uh-huh.
So that makes sense. And then the Red Sox, you trained with them in New Jersey then.
Yes.
That year. So you met the whole team.
Yes, I knew the whole team.
At spring training.
Yes.
How were the different players? I mean, who do you remember?
Did
you get assigned a roommate?
Yeah, they were good bunch of guys, sure. They were, all white boys, you know.
Yes, of course.
And
at
we
that time.
Got along real well, yeah.
Yeah. The during the course of the year, like you mentioned, some people started coming back from the service. Of course, the war was over. But later, just about the time you joined the team again, the war was ending. The atomic bombs were like August 6th, and you had your first start on the 12th.
Mm-hmm.
But was it a concern for a lot of you guys that had just made the team that, we might not have this position next year because,
I don't think we felt that way.
The people are coming back or something.
They just deserved it. If they deserved it, they'd be there.
Yeah, I don't mean that you held anything against them, but just you wondered where you'd be next year.
You know you're going to be someplace and...
Right, because throughout industry, people were coming back to jobs that they had, not just baseball.
Yeah.
But people like Johnny Lazor and Eddie Lake and so forth, they were having their chance, and then they, you know, they sort of got replaced.
Yes, that's right.
And Johnny Lazor just passed away a few months ago.
Did he?
I think within the last six months.
I get the things once a year to see who it is. And
yeah.
Of course, I think he lived in Washington State.
He was. I talked to him about a year ago because
he had
a number that was like number 80. He had this very, very high number in his uniform, and I was trying to figure out why he got such a high number.
Yeah.
And he didn't. He said they just gave it to him.
Just gave it. That was the last one, I think.
Yeah. The do you keep in touch? Do the Red Sox keep in touch with you? Are you on their alumni mailing list or anything?
Not really. No, I belong to the baseball
BAT?
Alumni, and I get that news all the time.
That's the BAT bat.
Yeah,
but you don't. The Red Sox don't. You don't hear from them once a year or something like that.
No.
Wonder if they even know where you are or something else.
I don't know.
They've got an alumni group, although they focus on the players that are in New England. But I'll let them know where you are, I guess, if they want to be in touch. How was your experience with Cronin then as a manager when you got up to Boston?
It was fine.
He was a good guy?
Yeah.
Used you appropriately.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't do badly. You did actually, by today's standards, extremely well.
Yeah.
3.07 earned run average. You'd be getting several million dollars a year these days.
Yeah, that's right.
But our... I don't know, just too many guys coming back the next year. What happened in 46?
Well,
you did good that year.
I could explain a little bit, and I shouldn't say this maybe, but like when we were in spring training.
In 46?
In Sarasota.
Yeah.
We took a bus over to, 31 of us took a bus over to St. Petersburg to play the Yankees in the spring training.
Mm-hmm.
We got pretty close to where we were going to play, and Cronin says to the busy, he said, you stop here at the Catholic Church. Some of us want to stop there, and we'll meet you at the hotel. It was walking distance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
28 of them got off the bus.
Uh-huh.
And I was one of them that didn't.
Right. he wanted you to go to church with him.
No. They were Catholics, all of them.
They all were, yeah.
Oh, sure.
You know, there's a history of that in the Red Sox that you've found from time to time.
Yeah. Well, that's why I was sold to the Red Sox, I think, from Minneapolis and not somebody else, because Cronin and Kelly were Irish Catholics and buddies, you know. So Cronin and Yockey were buddies, so that's why I went there. Sure.
Back like 25 years before that, they had some outfielders that wouldn't even talk to each other because one of them was Catholic and one of them was Protestant.
Sure, and that's why Ted Williams was at Minneapolis at first.
Well,
because Yockey and Kelly were buddies and they did that back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he got his first chance at Minneapolis.
He didn't hit it off with Cronin at first.
Well, I don't know. He just got his Triple A experience there.
Oh, he did. And he got the Triple Crown that year.
Yeah, because of Yockey and Kelly being buddies, Irish buddies.
Did you get to know people like Bob Johnson?
Yes.
And who was your roommate? Did you have a steady roommate?
I roomed with Johnny Lazor.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah.
Now, you went back to spring training in 46, like you just said.
Mm-hmm.
And you went all the way. You didn't get off at the church.
No.
That must have been...
Ted Williams, by the way, was the other one. Was one of the other guys that sat on there.
Yeah, well, he came from a Baptist Salvation Army background.
Yeah, right.
And stuff.
And Rudy York.
And Rudy York, yeah.
Yeah.
But everybody else pretty much filed off there.
Yeah.
Jeez, that's...
There was four of us left down there.
Yeah. How about Williams? What was he like?
Well, he was a terrific ball player, first of all.
Yep.
And his hitting outshined everything else. He could run good. He threw good. He was accurate. Had a strong arm. But he was different.
Right.
He'd sooner talk to me about hunting deer up at Ely, Minnesota, or fishing in Lake Mille Lacs or something than he would baseball.
Right. Yes.
He was that kind of a guy. I have a picture of the Red Sox in spring training in '46, and he's sitting between the clubhouse boy and somebody else, no ball player next to him.
Yeah, well, he tended to like to hang out with people that were in modest professions, you know,
right.
Like a policeman or an elevator operator or something. He was famous. He'd have dinners once a year and invite some of those guys to come dinner with him.
Yeah, that's about right, yeah.
Stuff like that. And he was pretty close to Bobby Doerr, but I guess he was one of the few guys that he would just sort of go off with.
Yeah, he and Bobby would go to lunch or something, I guess, or hang out at a show or something. But he was different, but he was a heck of a ball player.
Now, if you were a hitter instead of a pitcher, do you think he would have been asking you a few more questions?
No, he would have been telling me something.
Yeah, yeah, okay. It seems as though he spent a lot of time talking to hitters, but he never pumped the pitchers as much as you'd think he'd be trying to get the secrets.
No. He told us one time when a few of us were talking that he could tell what way the pitch was going to go, you know, like a screwball would go in and away from him and a curveball or slider or something come in. But by seeing the ball, when it leaves the pitcher's hand, he knew which way it was turning.
By the release? Yeah, the release of the ball. And stuff,
he could see the spin of the ball and how much it was going to break, he figured. That's a pair of eyes. Of course, Roger Hornsby had a pair of eyes like that, too. When he talked to you, it looked like he was talking to the guy 20 feet behind you.
Oh,
He looked right through you.
Yeah.
Roger Hornsby was a terrific hitter, right-handed hitter.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Like when I was with Fort Worth, somebody come back to the bench that maybe struck out or popped up or say something. He said, quit feeling sorry for yourself. When I went out there to hit, the only person I felt sorry for was that guy out there trying to get me out.
Yeah. So you hit your first win, I think, maybe against Chicago?
Chicago.
It was 8-2. You only gave up a few hits, I guess.
Yeah, that was in Comiskey Park.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that was, how many innings did you pitch that game?
I went all the way.
Might have gone the whole way, yeah. Yes, you certainly did, yeah. Steiner was your catcher. He's not a name I heard very much.
Jim, yeah. He died not too long ago. He lived in California.
He had 3 hits that day.
He was a pretty good ball player.
You had 15 hits on your team that day, so that helped out.
You bet.
Yeah. Then you've had a game against... then it was a four-hitter was the next game you pitched, and you lost the game, but it was a 2-1 game in St. Louis.
Yeah, against Nelson Potter.
That's right, yeah. I'm going through these. Well, that's a tough game to give up 4 hits and lose the game.
Yeah, it was. That's baseball.
One in the first inning, one in the sixth inning, and the Red Sox only scored one time.
Yeah.
Let's see, just flipping through some of the games here. There was a game that you pitched against Bob Feller that was pretty...
I beat it. Yeah, I won that one.
You won that game 2-1.
Yeah, in Fenway.
At Fenway Park, yeah. Now, of course, Feller had only been back a few starts from his service.
I think this was his fifth start.
I think that, yeah, it was his
fourth. I think he won 4 in a row or 5 in a row or something.
Yeah.
I think the score was 2-1.
Well, that must have been pretty exciting to... win a game when Bob Feller was on the other
team. I guess he was the greatest pitcher I ever saw.
Yes, I would think he might have been.
He was the first one out there when he wasn't pitching. He was the first one out there shagging flies, and he was the last one to leave. He was a terrific trainer. He was he'd train all season long, I guess, all year long.
Yeah. He only struck out 4 guys that game, so he wasn't at his best.
I got a hit off of him. But I won't tell you where I hit it.
So you did, yeah. What, was it a little dribbler back to the mound?
Yeah, it was the dribbler.
Yeah. Now, your pitches were, what kind of, you had a curveball and a knuckleball?
Well, I threw the knuckleball once in a while, very seldom, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had good control.
Right, not especially fast?
No, just fast compared to when I throw a knuckleball or something.
Right.
Surprise, yeah.
You'd mix them up and...
Mix them up.
Location.
I throw the slider, too.
Oh, okay, yeah. So you know, as I said, as I was saying, you had a pretty good year. But then, why do you think you didn't come back the next year? Just
you'd have to ask somebody up in the upper chain. I don't know.
Too many of you.
Well, we went to Louisville and won the pennant down there in the association.
In 46?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's when we played Montreal in the Little World Series, and Jackie Robinson was playing second base for him.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then you kept on for a few more years. How did you continue on from that point in time?
I was sold to, the Red Sox sold me to, or traded me, I should say, to the Cardinal organization.
Who'd they get? Do you remember?
They got Jack Grifore, G-R-I-F-F-O-R-E. Jack Grifore, he was a right-hander.
Yes. Okay.
He went to Louisville, and I went to Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
Then, that was late in the season, or, you know, it was...
At the end of 46?
Yeah, it was toward the end. Or,
which year, 46 or 47?
47.
Yeah, he never made it into the big leagues.
No. And then... that winter, Minneapolis got me back.
Oh, okay.
They traded me back, so I was with Minneapolis in 48.
Mm-hmm. And let's see. Yeah, I see a thing here. A friend sent me a clipping about the Montreal Royals. In 10 innings, won the game.
Yeah.
Tie the little World Series there.
Yeah.
And it was Robinson singling with the bases loaded that brought in the their winning run. For
yep. He was scared to death. We opened in Louisville, that series, and he was booed.
Yes.
He was thrown at. Jim Wilson could throw hard. He was our starting pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
And he floored him a couple times, and he just got right up and brushed himself off and got right back in there. So.
But he did that intentionally?
Yes.
Wilson?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, everybody knew.
Yeah, well, it was an honor. It was kind of an honor to be dusted off or knocked down.
Well, I mean, sure.
These guys that hit 250, they wouldn't throw at them. They'd let them sleep. They wouldn't wake them up, you know.
Right.
You wouldn't have to throw at them. It was kind of a society that was high class that got pushed back.
But it could have been a racial thing, too.
Oh, well, then. It was then. He was the first one, and us white boys didn't like it, I guess.
Right. You then you ended up with Columbus in at the end of 47?
Yes.
And then I see a little tiny clipping here that said they traded you back to Minneapolis for Steve Gerken.
Yep.
And they spelled your first name O-T-E-Y.
Yeah.
In that one. That's the only one that spelled it that way. Most of them, they called you Otis in the newspaper.
Yeah.
They didn't usually put a nickname.
Yeah, no. They just... Who's Otis?
And you were 27 by the time you came up to the Red Sox. So,
yep.
Had you been in the service yourself at all?
No. Uh-uh.
How'd you manage to?
Okay, I'll tell you. In our area here, when I was in school, high school and stuff, we took iodine pills. It was a goiter area here.
Yeah.
We lacked iodine. We didn't. And when I went to, you know, get examination for the draft and so forth to go. The doctor here in La Crosse who examined me, he said, I can't make you 4F, but I can't make a decision on this at all. You'll have to go to a military doctor. So I went to Fort Snelling in Minneapolis,
mm-hmm.
and he said, you are 4F. You are lacking in, you have a toxic goiter,
mm-hmm.
and you are, the shots, you couldn't go overseas. The shots would be very fatal for you.
Really?
So I come home here that fall, and here's Bun Edwards. He was a big kid that played ball with me, football and everything. And he said, I had the same thing. He said, they told me I had a toxic goiter. I couldn't go in service. And he said, Stan Burkhart, that was another ball player here, high school boy here. He lived in Detroit then. He said, I talked to him long distance the other day, and he can't be, he's 4F for the same reason.
Mm.
It was a toxic goiter thing. And I said, well, I could feel it in my throat before we take these iodine pills. And I said later to a doctor in Minneapolis, how come? He said, well, you never had any shrimp or oysters or lobster or anything then down there, you know.
Yeah.
And that's why you don't need those iodine pills. Now you get it in your food.
Do you ever have any problem later in life
No, not later in life.
With goiter or anything?
Yeah. No, I could feel it once in a while, but it didn't amount to nothing like it did when we were in school.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you seemed, you know, that was an unusual time where people were going up and down from the majors to the minors and going off to war and coming back again.
Yep.
I mean, I'm not quite sure why Bob Feller got out when he did. I guess maybe they just mustered him out almost immediately after Hiroshima or something.
Uh-huh.
Because that's just about the time he came back. How many years did you play out? 48? And I don't know, how many more years did you play baseball?
To 51.
Through the 51 season?
Yep.
Where were you those?
I was with Minneapolis, two of them, and I ended up at Toledo and the American Association the last year.
Mm-hmm. And then what made you stop? Obviously, you're getting older. But
yes, that's right. I had enough of it. Then I managed Rochester. I lived in Minneapolis all the time, and then I managed Rochester in the Southern Mini League. That was a semi-pro league for a couple of years after that.
What kind of work did you go into after?
I sold Buicks in Minneapolis for 25 years.
Oh, okay. That's probably a good profession to have had.
It was all right, yeah.
Especially after the war there when they started building the highways and
right,
all that.
Right, right. Yeah.
Yeah. Have you stayed interested in baseball, I guess?
Oh, yes, more or less, yes.
And you
just can't consume how things go now, you know.
Well, it's a little different in some ways.
You can't pronounce their names.
Yeah, there's a lot of different
stuff. Some of them's got interpreters.
Yes, yeah.
When a baseball player makes more by coming to bat four times in a game than the president does in a year, there's something wrong with something.
Well, you can figure out. Some of these guys, the pitchers now, like Pedro Martinez, I heard somebody saying he gets $10,000 a pitch.
Yeah, isn't that something?
It's one of the most.
Well, that A-Rod from Texas gets $43,000 every time he comes to bat.
Yeah, and sometimes he just watches, you know, three strikes go by and he sits back down again.
Yeah, I've had numerous. I talked at the University of Wisconsin Richland Center, that's not too far from here, and they said, well, what can we do about it?
No, there's nothing you can do
about it. There's nothing you can do about it. I said, as long as those seats are full,
absolutely, yeah.
That's it.
And you can't begrudge people for taking the money.
But I predict that before long that Major League Baseball will be played in other countries, too.
They've already, you know...
Well, they're thinking about it.
They're even talking now about having, even as early as 2005, opening up the season with a game or two in Europe, just like they did in Japan.
Japan, sure.
Now, did you have any children?
No.
Did you have any brothers or?
Yes, I had brothers.
Played ball.
They're both gone. They never played baseball. No.
They weren't interested. And
no.
Did it something that just came in the community? Your father or a mother throw pitches to you in the backyard or somewhere?
No, I picked it up all myself, I guess.
Right.
But that's all we had to do. I can remember when we were in school, Saturday, we'd go up to the baseball park and have a couple old baseballs and spend the whole darn day there practically.
Well, sure. I mean, you didn't have it. There was no television.
No television.
No computers.
No computers. No nothing. No.
No video games.
No.
Yeah. No, that was a great time. I mean, I'm much younger than you, but I was born in 1945. And,
uh-huh.
I can still remember when the first televisions came into our neighborhood, and yet I'd, you know, much rather go out and play baseball down a couple fields away.
And there was no... The only dope in those days was the guy that didn't get the signs when he got on first base or third base coach.
Right.
That's the only dope we knew.
Yeah. When you didn't make it back to the major leagues, were you disappointed? Was that something you...
Not really. Not really.
I mean, everybody kind of aspires to that, I guess.
Yeah. It would have been all right. I guess you make some wishes, or after it's over, you think, well... Gosh, I wish I'd have been in that National League.
Yeah.
Or something like that, you know.
Right.
Or with another club or something. But
but you feel overall that you had a fair chance, you had a decent time.
Yeah.
And you do. It didn't disappoint you too badly that you didn't come back up again.
Not at all.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. I met a lot of nice people and saw a lot of nice country. My wife went with me and we had a good time.
Right.
Yep.
So now, the transaction that was done that brought you to the Red Sox itself, was there another scout involved, or was it just a team management to team management type thing?
What took me to the Red Sox?
Yeah.
I assume I had beaten Louisville a couple times
Yeah.
for Minneapolis.
Right.
And I impressed Louisville quite a bit, I guess, evidently. And they wanted me there to finish out the season in 1944 to see if we could win the pennant, see.
Right.
Louisville had a chance, but they traded an infielder for me to Minneapolis, and some money, I don't know how much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, okay, I appreciate you taking so much time to talk with me here.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I enjoyed it. And this is going to be on tape or whatever, you say?
Yes, I made a cassette tape while we were talking here. And what I'll do is I'm going to listen back to it, of course, and take down some notes for myself. But then I'm going to send it into the guy that's the head of the committee.
Uh-huh.
And he takes custody of the tapes. Eventually, we get copies to the Hall of Fame in Cooperstown.
Uh-huh.
If anybody... you know, is doing research, and they come across the list of tapes and see your name and want to know a little bit more about you, that chance, yeah.
Do you have this committee that you're with?
Yes.
What's the name of it now?
Well, the organization overall is called SABR, but that stands for the Society for American Baseball Research.
Oh, I see. But there's no literature or anything that you print out or anything.
Yeah, there's I can send you some information about the organization. There's a lot of people... join that are interested in doing research, and a lot of people just join because they enjoy. You get a book every year and a couple of you get three publications a year that they mail you on baseball.
Oh, I see.
I'll send you some information on it.
That'll be fine.
Now, I actually only have your phone number, so maybe it would be helpful if you could tell me your mailing address.
601
mm-hmm.
LaBelle, capital L-A,
yep.
Capital B-E-L-L-E,
all right.
Street.
Yes.
Bosco Bell.
Oh, you're still living there. Okay.
Yeah, well, we came back here, yes.
Right, okay.
Wisconsin.
Yep.
53805.
Good. And how do you prefer it be?
The mailman knows me by Odie.
Okay.
Everybody calls me Odie.
You never get called Bill or William or anything.
No, we had a Bill in the family when I was a kid, I guess, and they didn't want two Bills, so they called me Otis, but that didn't last long.
Well, I'm Bill Jr., but we worked it out somehow.
Yeah.
I got to go see my dad later. He was born a couple years after you. He was born in 22.
Uh-huh.
Well, nice to talk to you.
Yes.
I appreciate it.
Bill.
Thank you very much.
Have a good one.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.